Good morning, Saskatchewan. Hope your Monday is off to a good start. Hope your week is off to a good start. Boy, really starting to feel like fall is on the way. Just to change the angle of the sun, a little cooler in the morning. Had some fog around the province this morning. But you know, I love fall. My favorite time of the year. I like summer. Don't get me wrong. I like summer, but I get tired of summer after a while. I like the change. And not so much the change that comes after fall. So what a summer we've had with wildfire smoke. In my years of being in this province, I don't recall such an early start to having the smoky skies as we did this year, May, June. Yeesh. And we're not done with summer yet. And of course, it's only common sense that when you've got that wildfire smoke in the air, it can have an impact on your health, on your breathing, and especially for people who have different conditions and how it can impact them, and they have to stay inside more. But there's research underway now about how wildfire smoke isn't just impacting our air, it is potentially also going to cause problems for our water supply that comes out of the mountains. We'll get more on that from our guest, Dr. John Pomeroy. John is a hydrologist, director of the University of Saskatchewan's Center for Hydrology, and he joins us now on the Evan Bray Show. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is interesting research that you and your people are doing. So tell me, how in the world does forest fire smoke in the air potentially cause an issue with our water supply that flows into our river systems?
Well, one of the components of the water supply, particularly for the North Saskatchewan River, are the mountain glaciers in the Rocky Mountains. And those glaciers, they tend to melt in the hottest, driest weather, and so they provide some drought-proofing for our rivers that come into Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. which has been great historically and has really helped with water management. But the glaciers are mostly melted by sunlight, and when they're, as they were, would have been 30, 40 years ago, pretty white, pretty clean. So they reflect most of that sunlight and melt very slowly in the summer compared to, something dark if it were frozen. However, now they've been darkening up because of soot from wildfires deposited on their surfaces. And this has made some of them as dark as a prairie field. And so they then absorb a lot of solar energy, and they melt very, very quickly. And even stranger is they're getting algae blooms on top of the glaciers. This is a glacier algae, the ice algae that loves the ice, and it really loves the nutrients that wildfire soot provides. So that holds the algae has filaments to it, and it holds the soot in place for years at a time and keeps those glaciers dark and melting about 10% faster than they would be. And this is contributing to the end of the mountain glaciers. I mean, they're melting 8 to 9 meters downward a year. Imagine 8-9 meters of ice melting away and literally disappearing on us right now. So it's it'll mean in the future much more challenging water supply situations in drought years for Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba.
Are we not getting the snowfall to help replace the glacier loss?
Well, the snowfall has been declining as well, and this year snowfall in the mountains was about two-thirds of normal levels, and we sure saw that in Saskatoon with the low river levels and low Lake Diefenbaker levels this spring and early summer. But it's that's really tough for a glacier. It means the ice, the dark ice, gets exposed earlier after that snow melts, and then the melt accelerates. And in this year, that melt started on the ice in April, and normally we wouldn't expect that until July.
It's kind of a frightening scenario that you're painting here, John.
Well, we're seeing the final end of the ice age, and it's but you know, in this case, it's being driven by humans, by the extra warming that we've caused by emitting greenhouse gases. But it's going to mean certainly some substantial adaptation in Western Canada.
Well, and that's it. How do you start to replace water from the mountains? And I think the average person maybe doesn't fully understand the amount of water that comes off these glaciers each and every year. And then you tend to get the pretty good rains in Alberta in the foothills that brings our water level up in Lake Diefenbaker and across the part of the South Saskatchewan River system. It would be pretty bizarre to see that all come to an end.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see the rivers go dry, but for instance, this year, this looked worse than the drought of 2023 back in May. and the mountain snowpack was low, it was two-thirds of normal, it was melting early, glaciers were starting to melt, and their glacier melt helps a little bit in this, but it's not enough. And then we were lucky. The weather systems flipped later in May, and the Rockies had a famously rainy summer, about 500 millimeters at some of our U of S stations in the Rockies since May 1st, 500 millimeters of rain, which is about double the normal. So that's caused the river levels to come up, particularly in late July and August. And we've seen a restoration of Lake Diefenbaker levels and the North and South Saskatchewan River flows. So that was luck. And it's not guaranteed every year. So what's been reliable for us in the past has been that mountain snowmelt, which is providing over half of the river flow that we see in Saskatoon. So, and that'll be dropping in the future and melting earlier. And so we are expecting there'll be an increase in rainfall that will partly compensate for that. But it'll still mean much drier summers and, on average, lower stream flows in the summertime across Saskatchewan. But so how we operate Lake Diefenbaker is going to be crucial for maintaining that water supply.
But as we know, Mother Nature can be rather fickle. It's possible we could see some cooling off. I know it's a pipe dream maybe on my part, but maybe down the road we see a return to more normal winters that would maybe help the situation. And then when we think about climate change, I know there's also talk about the management of our forests where these fires have been burning, and especially so much here this year. What do you see that can be done to reduce the fire hazard itself, or to reduce the amount of that smoke that's in our air?
Well, first, cooling isn't going to be occurring in our lifetimes. We're up 1.5 degrees Celsius since the pre-industrial global climate, and Canada's warming faster than the rest of the world, and the high altitudes in the mountains warming faster than that. Mm-hmm. And we're on track for another 3 or 4 degrees of warming for the that the youth will see in their lifetimes now. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be very challenging. It's getting it back down is going to be a 22nd century issue, and a very challenging one for them. But in terms of forest management, a lot of our forests in northern Saskatchewan that burnt have not been managed, and there's been fire suppression around major communities and infrastructure, but not much more. And they're such a vast area, it's not manageable in any normal sense. One thing, interesting studies that have come out to show that after clear cutting, the regrowth after clear cutting is particularly susceptible to wildfire for about 40 to 50 years. And so that's something we have to look at in terms of our harvesting in northern Saskatchewan, and whether we've regrown forests that were so dense, these young plantations, that they were that we've increased fire risk that way. But in general, it's not something we can do with forest thinning. There'll be some fire breaks around communities and infrastructure that can be helpful, but they have to be maintained and keep that vegetation low.
It's fascinating research that you're doing, John. When you talk about the glaciers that are in the Rockies that provide so much of the runoff that goes into our lakes and streams here in southern Saskatchewan, how many of these glaciers do you folks actually study and keep an eye on?
Well, we keep an eye closely on two with instruments. It's very, very challenging to do, and it means putting weather stations on the ice, and the glaciers are retreating fast, so one we studied, Pato Glacier, retreated horizontally half a kilometer in the last 5 years. So we just had to move our weather stations up to a higher part of the glacier and get around a bunch of crevasses and everything. So it's logistically challenging.
I can imagine.
And then satellites provide extra information on glacier coverage and even their height. And that's helpful because we've got thousands of glaciers, actually about 20,000 glaciers in Canada. And so there's far too many to measure by hand.
Right, right. That's amazing. I never would have guessed there'd be 20,000 glaciers in the country.
Yeah, they provide really important water supply in late summer, particularly in droughts, but it's the mountain snowpack that's the lion's share of that meltwater water that we receive in Saskatchewan. And so that's the one we track most carefully. We've got 45 sites in the Rockies tracking mountain snow, because that's about 60% of our water in Saskatchewan in the two major rivers.
It's fascinating research that you're doing, Dr. John Pomeroy, hydrologist, director at the University of Saskatchewan Center for Hydrology. Appreciate your time, John, and I'm sure we'll have you back on at a later date.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Take care. You bet, Dr. John Pomeroy. Thinking, as he said, it's the end of the ice age, and we're seeing it, and how the forest fire smoke is leading to the even speedier decline of a lot of the glaciers in the Rocky Mountains. 17 after 11. My name is Brent Lauks. I'm happy to be filling in this week for, 3 days. Evan Bray Show continues on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. And I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show. Brent Lauks filling in for a couple of days this week in Washington. U.S. President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky are holding court right now in the Oval Office, speaking to the media. This is a pretty tight agenda that they're working on here today. So Trump and Zelensky having their sit down right now. An hour from now, Trump is going to greet the group of European leaders. And then round about 12:30 or so our time this afternoon, there'll be a photo op. And then they're going to have their big meeting of the European leaders, Zelensky and Trump, at 1 o'clock our time this afternoon, and there'll be more coming out at that particular point. Lots of stuff that we're keeping an eye on these days, right? So we're watching what's going on in Washington. We're watching what's going on in Alberta with the by-election, where the polls are open now, and they will close at 8:30 our time tonight. And because it's a write-in ballot situation, may take a little longer to get the count on those. But I think most people are fully expecting a Pierre Poilievre win in that by-election in Alberta. And then, of course, the Air Canada situation. I just feel so bad for people that are stuck. And you're hearing these stories on our newscast, people from other countries that are coming on a holiday to Canada. And, the one woman from England, stuck in Toronto, was hoping to connect to get to Calgary to go to the beautiful Rocky Mountains, and not going to happen. And you got to know that other airlines, WestJet, Porter, they'll be full. I don't know how much opportunity you'll have to have a flight on another airline. Interesting to see some of the comments that came in on 1-877-332-8255. We were talking about unusual fines. And this started this morning when I told you the story of the Minnesota mechanic who was doing some repair work on a 2015 Ford Edge. And he found an assembly plant worker's wallet in the engine compartment that the guy lost while he was building the vehicle 11 years earlier. And boy, we've had some great stories here. This is from Scott. Says, I was hunting in the Yukon 30 years ago. One of the guides found a money clip with American money in it. A hunter had lost it years ago. Everybody at the camp was aware of the story about the guy had lost it. Nobody expected it to be found, but the guide found it and was able to return it to the American hunter. And even though the money was pretty beat up, his bank still honored it. Good story from Scott at 1-877-332-8255. We had three kittens ride from Gull Lake to Lethbridge and back to Gull Lake. After a 2-day stay, we got home and the mum cat darted up under the hood of our SUV and got the kittens out, and the kittens were fine. Boy, you hear those kind of stories a lot about animals, especially kittens, cats, get up into the engine compartment. Sadly, some of them don't end well. John from Craven. Oh, this is good. A few years ago, I lost my wallet while I was snowblowing my driveway. The following spring, my neighbor found it in his yard. 1-877-332-8255 if you got a story on that or anything else you'd like to share with us this morning. 1-877-332-TALK. Manette says, we were redoing a shower in our new home. We removed a wall and found a child's snowsuit in the wall. It was quite the shock, as it looked like it was filled with something. We were hoping it wasn't a skeleton. Turned out somebody had used old clothing as insulation, as other articles were stuffed in the gap as well. Boy, you hear those kinds of stories about what people use for insulation. Like, you can find old homes that have no insulation in them. You know, they put up the 2x4 frame, threw on a slab of plywood, put on the siding, and that was it. But of course, as time went on, people realized they needed to have insulation to keep their heating costs low. And then you started to see everything from newspapers, old clothing, you name it. If it was something that they could fill in the gap of those homes, that's exactly what they were using. 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Coming up here after 11:30. Dr. Sarah Wood is going to join us. She works at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine, but she's been doing some rather interesting research talking about the biological similarities between human beings and bees, you know, bees. And what they're finding in their research is that bees often see the same symptoms from alcohol abuse, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder specifically. So that'll be an interesting conversation we'll have about the research that they're doing with bees and how some of their findings could be used on human beings. That's with Dr. Sarah Wood. And also after 12 noon today, this is a cool story. We've got an 18-year-old professional fisherman, him and his brother, 15-year-old brother recently won the top money at the Premier's Cup, the big walleye fishing tournament up at Tobin Lake. So it'll be an interesting story with Winston Scott Stockdale. But not only is he a great fisherman, he's actually got his own business going right now. So if you're a fishing person, you'll want to check out our final guest here coming up just after the 12 noon news on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. We continue to keep an eye on the situation in Washington. As they say, following the meeting on Friday with Putin and Trump, did you feel very good about where this was going to go when Trump went into it with all these high hopes he was going to get Putin to agree to something? No ceasefire. And then you had Trump on the weekend saying, you know, Ukraine maybe could wrap this up by giving the Russians some of the land that they already occupy and maybe some land that they don't even occupy yet. And Zelensky's already said, yeah, that's not going to happen. And a lot of European leaders are saying, we are going to continue to back Zelensky and Ukraine in this difficult situation. How in the world are they going to get an agreement out of these meetings today? Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed and we'll continue to follow that story for you through the course of the day here on 650 CK. AOM and 980 CJME. Brent Laux with you. I'm here till 12:30 today, all part of the Evan Bray Show on CJME and CKOM.